Turn your Bibles tonight to Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter 18. And I want to try to be encouragement to the young people. Many young people have said that the Lord spoke to them about being a leader for God. And I felt that the Lord would have us look at some important truths in the Bible about spiritual leadership. Exodus chapter 18, we find Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came unto him, and he was leading the people. And there was far more work to do than he could do alone. And he said, you need to get some leaders. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21... he said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. Of course, we see here the need for leaders. And we have here a list in the Old Testament, qualifications for leadership. And of course, the first thing that we find is that a leader must fear God. And as we studied this week in the Bible, we found that one of the great things about a real leader, I wouldn't call it a spiritual. You know, a lot of people have leadership ability, but they aren't spiritual leaders. You know, there's a difference. There's a huge difference. A spiritual leader, the first thing that we find in the Bible about a spiritual leader is a spiritual leader knows who they are working for. They know who they are working for. If we look at do some review today, Ezekiel chapter 1, and we find the Lord revealing himself to Ezekiel. God has called Ezekiel. God is commissioning him. God is making him, calling him to be a leader. And he reveals himself to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1:28. Of course, we can't read the whole chapter. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the sky of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. He came in contact with the one he was working for. Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his glory filled the house. And the angels, the seraphim, cried, holy, holy, holy. And what did Isaiah do? Isaiah says, woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the King. He came acquainted with the one that was going to give him a job to do. Acts chapter 9, we find the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, trying to talk too fast. And suddenly, there shined about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Of course, we saw that great theme throughout the scriptures. We find Isaiah meets the Lord. And the Lord says, who shall go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah came to know the God of the Bible. Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord. He fell at his feet as dead. John the Apostle was in Revelation chapter 1. Saw the vision of Jesus Christ in his glory. And it says he fell at his feet as dead. We find that throughout the scripture. The key to a leader, a spiritual leader, a faithful man, is one who knows his boss. The one who knows the one for whom he is working. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, we live in a day in which obviously the view of God is very shallow and very weak and very low. And the error of the day is that preachers don't know the God of the Bible. They don't tremble in His presence. They don't tremble at His holiness. They have very little sense of His sacredness, of His glory, His grandeur, His majesty, His sovereignty, His holiness. And they act like it too. You say you're going to be a leader. Do you know who you're working for? You know, when you're doing a job, the person you're working for has a lot of sway how you do it, don't you? You're working at the nursery and you say, oh, Pastor John, he'd like it just like this. This is how he wants it. No shortcuts. No easy way. Do it the right way. And it's amazing what you know about who you are working for determines what you will do. And the Bible says the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And the key principle, the Bible says, commit the things which thou hast heard to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. I am convinced that the issue of today of the lack of faithfulness is a lack of understanding of the God of the Bible. You have to know who you are working for. You're not working for yourself. You're going to be a leader. You're not a leader for yourself. You're working for God. You need to know who God is. There's a second great principle. You need to know who you're working for. And a leader works for God. He works for God. In all these passages, we find a very similar parallel truth. The Lord appeared to Samuel. And he didn't know it was the Lord. And Eli said, Samuel, it's the Lord. It's the Lord, Samuel. And when the Lord speaks, Samuel, this is what you're supposed to say. Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The Apostle Paul, when he saw the Lord, what did he say? What will you have me to do, Lord? When Isaiah saw the Lord, God had a job for him to do. I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. The key principle here is a leader hears the voice of the Lord. A leader obeys the voice of the Lord. You know, it's... I talked to one of the men this morning, young men. I says, hey, why don't you ask the Lord about that and find out what the Lord says, right? That's what a leader is. A leader finds out what God says and he obeys God. You know, there's a lot of people who are supposed leaders, but they don't hear God, and they don't listen to God, and they don't obey God. A leader is one who hears the voice of the Lord, gets his instruction from God, and obeys God. Simple, isn't it? But that's a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader is motivated, is moved, is shaped by knowing who the Lord is. A spiritual leader, because of that, is one who is submitted to God and obeys God and does what God says. You know, it's real simple, young person. You're going to be a spiritual leader at school? All you got to do is ask yourself, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Boy, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Man, real simple. What do you want me to do? Lord, do you want me to back talk to my teacher? Well, guess you'll get a quick answer on that one, right? Lord, you want me to slouch in my seat and be lazy? That was a quick answer to that. Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to do my best? Do you want me to do what's right? Do you want me to be an example? What do you want me to do? Well, that's a simple answer to that, isn't there? You see, a leader consults with God. A leader consults with God. That's the first thing that came off of the lips of the Apostle Paul as he got saved. Lord, what will you have me to do? You know, that's an amazing thing. A spiritual leader is looking to obey God. It's just a part of the process. It's automatic. It's instinctive. When you know the God of the Bible, what are you going to say? Lord, what will you have me to do? So a spiritual leader is one who knows God, one who knows the God of the Bible. And their life and their mind and their soul is shaped by knowing who God is. And because they know God, they are people who obey God. They get their instructions from God. Now, a leader is one who works for God. A leader is one who works for God. As we see throughout the scripture and throughout these inferences and instances in the Bible, we see that spiritual leaders were called by God to work for God and in that process to influence men for God. To influence men for God. You know, a leader is leading others to higher ground. That's right, isn't it? So God calls Ezekiel. Let's turn there to Ezekiel chapter 2. And obviously there are other places that we could go today, and we'll get to maybe have time to go to some of them. Ezekiel 2, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand on thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Notice he's getting instructions from God. Notice, and the Spirit of God, and the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. They are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they're a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. See, a leader works for God. A spiritual leader works for God. He's not working for men. He's working for God. Doesn't matter what men do. It doesn't matter what men say. It doesn't matter if men receive it, or if they refuse it, or if they respond to it. What matters in their work is that they are working for God. Problem today is too many people, they check the wind first. They're weather vane Christians. They're weather vane Christians. They're weather vane preachers. You know what I mean by weather vane? Which way's the wind blowing? Oh, okay. That's the way we'll go. Because you know what? They're not working for God. They're working for people. You know, if you're working for God, not everybody's going to like you. You're not going to be popular. Everybody's not going to be your friend. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have people make fun of you. And I realize it's a lot easier to have unsaved people make fun of you than Christian people. But I guarantee you, Christian people make more fun of you than unsaved people. But you know, a spiritual leader works for God. Their job is to bring people to a higher level. Not to bring God from where he is down to a lower level, but to bring God, people, to a higher level. To influence people for God. That's what a leader is. Be thou an example of the believer. That's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example. You know, that's pretty easy to do. You can be an example. Everybody can easily be an example. You know, that's how you're gonna be able to be a leader all the time, because you're gonna recognize that your example is an influence for God. A leader works for God. Now, you know, there's a lot of leaders today, spiritual leaders. A lot of people that have a lot of leadership ability. But they aren't leaders for God. But spiritual leaders are leaders for God. That's who they're working for. Now we need to be reminded, there's a very great truth. I think it's inferred in verse 2 when it says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. But I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy is about spiritual leadership. My son, be thou strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. One of the great principles of spiritual leadership is that a spiritual leader gets his strength from God. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. You know, kind of simply put, now, young people, praise the Lord, made a decision to be a leader for God, but guess what? If you don't have your devotions and meet with God, are you going to have spiritual strength? Are you? Every intention of the world will not last longer than your pursuit of God's power in your life. You must be strong in God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is supernatural ability found in Jesus Christ that is available through Him for your life. You can be what you're not. You can be bold when you're shy. You can be strong when you're weak. You can go forward when everybody else is going backwards. Because God's supernatural ability found in Jesus Christ is sufficient for you and I. You know, God needs leaders. And leaders are people who are an influence for right. They're always interested in doing what is right. Leaders are always interested in working for God, for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the furtherance of His righteousness, for the furtherance of His things. It's for God. And because of that, We make ourselves available. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Spiritual leadership. You know, there's no age limit on this thing. I think we found out from the camp out. The youngest kid at the camp out probably was the greatest influence at the camp out. You know why? He let God work in his life. He let God work in his life. He got the point. He got the issue. God needs someone who will work for him. And when a person gets the real understanding who the God of the Bible is, it makes all the difference in the world. We have to ask ourselves here tonight, all of us, moms, dads, I mean, do we really know the God of the Bible? Every place we read about people getting in the presence of God, they were transformed by His presence. We have the opportunity of knowing the God of the Bible through Jesus Christ. If we are saved, we have the opportunity to know the God of the Bible. We have the revelation of God right here. We can know the God of the Bible. Now, of course, we are reminded of Psalm 73. The man of Israel said, "You know, my feet had almost slipped when I was envious at the wicked." And then he said, but when I got into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. A great truth that we've been learning on this camp out. is that unless we get into the presence of God and look at life from the realms of His holy presence, of getting into His sanctuary and being in fellowship with Him. And of course, sin is going to give us the wrong opinion of life and of God and of serving God. But when you get in His presence, we're completely transformed. Leaders for God. We need to make sure we get into the presence of God on a daily basis. And sin will take us out of that present, won't it? Sin will cloud our minds, darken our understanding, give us wrong thinking. Very simple truth. We need to be in God's Word every day. We need to meet God every day. We need to confess sins every day. We need to know more and more about the God that we serve. And we need to be reminded that that's the person we're working for. And when we understand who we're working for, then we'll be able to be a leader, because we'll be working for Him and seeking to be an influence for Him. You know, obviously the message tonight is to encourage our young people. But I wonder, maybe you're here tonight, and the fact is, you aren't much of an influence for God. In fact, you're one of those that maybe drags down the work of God. Maybe you're one of those that kind of stifles holiness. Maybe it's been a long time since you got into the presence of God. You know, it doesn't take much to get out of the presence of God, does it? You know, you men, you work in a wicked world. It doesn't take long to get out of the presence of God. And you can slip away from the presence of God and in some ways not even know it, right? Let sin come into your life. You know, we can get out of the presence so easily in this wicked world. All you have to do is spend a couple seconds looking at the wrong thing. And we've gotten out of the presence of God. Now, my theology didn't get wrong here. I understand that that is a figure of speech. The Spirit of God never leaves us. But there's a reality. Even the psalmist recognized that the key to life is getting into the presence of God. And getting into the presence of God will transform our life. You know, maybe you're a dad here tonight, and it's been a long time since you've been in the presence of God. A long time since you really had a sense of the holiness of God, and you really saw sin as what it is, and you called it sin, and you didn't justify it, and you didn't minimize it. Because when you get in the presence of God, you have a sharp focus of what's right and wrong, right? We need to be in the presence of God. Now, we can't get in the presence of God if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. As a Christian, we can get away from the presence of God through sin, through neglect, through apathy. We need to get back into the presence of God. Now, when we get in the presence of God, it's always seen in the Bible that one of the first reactions is, Lord, what will you have me to do? To serve the Master and to be an influence for right, for the higher plane, for righteousness. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the simple truth that we can see in the Word of God of what it takes. What it takes in our heart, what it takes in our life, the reality of really getting into the presence of God, knowing the holy God of heaven, understanding that He is a holy God, seeing ourselves, not in comparison with others, but seeing ourselves in relationship to Him, and to, Lord, to be, to come into that sense of awe and fear of who You are that is transforming. And Lord, I pray that You'll use Your Word in our lives even tonight. And Lord, help us to be honest with You. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being at the camp out and just being in the Word of God for hours every day. And Lord, how even my own soul, what a joy it was to be able to be in Your Word, and what a thrill to just get into Your presence. And Lord, in everyday life, it is so easy to let sin come in, to have almost non-existent devotions, to just come and spend just a couple hours in church a week and really never get into the presence of God like we ought. Lord, I pray that You'll challenge us in our lives to get into Your presence. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, specifically I'm speaking to young people. You said God wants me to be a leader. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight what it's going to take. What it's going to take to be a leader for God. What it looks like. And you say, you know, God has spoken to my heart. I am more committed than even when I gave my testimony tonight to be a leader for God. That requires getting into His presence, representing Him in every aspect of life, serving Him, obeying Him, hearing His voice, doing what is right because I'm serving Him. And say, you know, the Spirit of God is convicting me about even more so about being a leader for God. Would you just raise your hand if that's true in your life? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, amen. Now that might mean that God is calling you to make some specific decisions, to pay some specific price about getting some specific things out of your life, about being willing to do right, no matter if it's popular or not, and I encourage you to settle that with God. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I've heard all these testimonies tonight about getting in the presence of God. And you know, it's been a long time since I've been in the presence of God. My devotions are almost nothing. When I come to church, I hardly hear the voice of God. And my whole spiritual perspective is slipping and slipping and slipping. And I've lost spiritual leadership in my life because I've lost the presence of God in my life. And I know it. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. And you need to get things right with God tonight and be what God wants you to be. You've lost your sense of purpose in life because you've gotten out of the presence of God. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I realize that message is for me tonight. I've lost the presence of God in my life and my desire to serve Him and to do what's right and go to higher ground. And God is dealing with me tonight. And there's a definite turning in my life that needs to be done. Pray for me. Anyone here tonight, just raise your hand. Okay? All right. Praise God. Okay? Others? How about you? Okay? Amen? God is speaking to your heart. This is important. Okay? Amen. Others, how about you? How about you? Oh boy, it costs you deeply if you would make that decision. And yet you know that's what God wants in your life. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for speaking to hearts. And Lord, we pray that you'd use your word to confirm and to strengthen these young people in their resolve to serve you, to do what is right, that there would be truly a spirit in our school, in our church, of doing right, wanting to serve God, looking to you, wanting to go to higher ground, having no time for foolishness and for sin. And Lord, being vessels for God, I pray you'd use this in the lives of these young people. And Lord, for others tonight, that in your grace you have spoken to their hearts, and you have, in a sense, given them a sense of what needs to be in their life. And Lord, for some, it's a big decision. And they have been out of the presence of God for a long time. Maybe not purposely, but they have. And they've lost that sense of purpose, the sense of the holiness of God, and the need to go to higher ground and to be an influence for God. Now help them, as the invitation is given, Lord, to get that settled with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.